Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Pick and Roll for your Friday morning live stream right here on the Board YouTube channel, the Hammers NBA Content Division. And we're here today to finish off the week, hopefully, as some winners here and go into the week with a bit of extra profit, especially for anybody out there doing their betting with March Madness as well. It'd be nice to have some extra winners from the NBA to help with that. But let's try and do that today. If you guys do enjoy what you see from the show today, especially if you are going to be telling the picks, and make sure that you do hit the like button, support the content. We put in a lot of hard work week on week to get the content out here. So we'd really appreciate it if you did support us, help grow the company, help grow the brand, and also make sure you're subscribed to the channel so you never miss out on any of the content that is on the way for you guys. Again, we're live every weekday morning right here. Well, with that, let's get into the picks that we have for today's show right away here. So for the first play, we are going to Zion Williamson on an SGP once again. And it's a typical SGP that we have had on the show here, where we're going with Zion Williamson under on points, but over on assists. We've done vice versa. We've done this play before, but going to Zion Williamson under 27.5 points and over 3.5 assists. And we're going to get that for minus 115 odds at DraftKings. This one you can't get at ESPN Bet, but maybe later in the day, if the alternate lines open up, you would be able to get this one. But this is in the Pelicans matchup against the Heat. The second play that we have today is Cade Cunningham against the Boston Celtics. We're going to be playing Cade to go over his points at minus 118 at FanDuel for 20.5 points. Again, hoping for a big night from Cade Cunningham, but let's turn it back over to Pips. Go back to the first play here. Zion in the matchup against the Heat here. What are you seeing from the Heat's defense that's going to cut off his point pipeline and kind of ensure that he has to go with a little bit more from a... we got two Pips here. What do you see on the Zion from the Heat defense that's going to limit Zion's point production but enable him to find his teammates to set up some passes?
Probably mostly zone in front of Zion or building famous one with Giannis, and with Zion it's even same thing they did the last time they played. We actually had the exact same bet months ago, February 22nd, I think, on Zion against the Miami. We had under 26.5 points and over 3.5 assists. In that game, he ended up with 23 points and 7 assists on 15 potential assists. So, yeah, 15 potential assists. It's like Jari driving kick, driving kick, driving kick. They're going to collapse. I hope Bam Adebayo is playing. I don't think they said, I listened to the press, they said it was just a caution last time that they gave him some rest. So he should be out there. He's a big part of the analyst. So he's insane defensive player, and he can do a lot of good work against the Zion, strength-wise, positioning-wise. So, yeah. Brandon Ingram is also questionable for this game. He got hurt last night and then never came back. I think he'll be out. Last game against Miami when we bet Zion, Brandon Ingram was out. So yeah, we got this exact same scenario in this one. And yeah, I'm going with Zion comfortably with under points over assist against the defense the Miami Heat has. Didn't send to the graphics, but if we have been going to through it, like he is on the play types. All five dominant play types, Miami Heat, top 8, free throws, isolation, transition, ball handler, very difficult matchup. And he scores 77% of his points at the rim. Miami allows second least at the rim. So matchup-wise, really, really difficult.
All right, there we have it for Zion, as Pips mentioned. I couldn't quite remember if it was in the exact same matchup, but it is. It is the same matchup here for Zion. Under on points, over on assists against the Miami Heat. That'll bring us into our second play here. I'm not 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure this is also an identical play to one we've had previously. Cade Cunningham over on points against the Celtics. Regardless, that is the second play for today. Cade Cunningham over 20.5 points, minus 118 odds at FanDuel.
Yeah, going back to Kate here, Boston Celtics are completely okay with posing best player, most dominant ball handler, scoring against them, as they are one of the best defensive teams in the league. Currently ranked as the second best defensive rating in the league, but they still allow fifth most to the opposing point guard pick and roll ball handlers, because that's the way they defend. They let anyone go one-on-one, single coverage, drop coverage against Derek White and Jrue Holiday, maybe even Jalen Brown in this scenario. Cade Cunningham scores 44% of his points as a pick and roll ball handler, so big numbers. And now he gets team that allows fifth most to the pick and roll ball handlers. Earlier this season, he had 31 against the Celtics in a close game. Good thing for this one is Tatum questionable, Brown questionable, Porzingis questionable, Jrue Holiday questionable. Probably two out of these four will sit out. Then we could see maybe even a close game, so Kate could get good minutes. Nonetheless, no one on this in Detroit team can create their own shot, maybe Ivy in some scenarios, but it will be heavy usage drive to the Kate here. Last game against the Pacers, 22 field goal attempts or 23 field goal attempts. If he gets that kind of usage here, he should score over 20 and a half. This is just actually a low line for Kate. We've seen 22 and a half the entire season. Now we get 2 points off. He had a good rest for so it's not a back-to-back or anything. So love it.
All right, there we go. Cade Cunningham over on points against the Boston Celtics. Kind of in line with what I mentioned in a video I did on this channel a couple days ago. I went through some betting tips for betting NBA near the end of the season. And one of the things I mentioned was trying to predict more so on injury news. So when players are listed questionable like this, are player props and is the game spread being priced to those players being true questionables when you would expect they're going to miss the game? I guess that's kind of what Pips is doing here, where the expectation is, yes, all these players are questionable, probably won't see a couple of them, and that's only going to help with the number that we have here. So hopefully we do get that positive injury news, and it does. Well, I don't want anybody to be injured, but I seriously question whether or not these guys are actually injured with the current position of the Celtics, and they probably will win no matter who they put on the court today, to be honest. So opportunity here to get a really good price on Cade, catching this one live. Let's go to the recap now of the previous day's bets, and this one is not a very fun one to look back on, unfortunately. 0-2 day, it's the first time we've had a losing day since two Fridays ago, so just about 2 weeks ago. And yeah, the manner in which this one goes down, you know, we talked about a nice three-win streak on the hook column, on the hook counter, but unfortunately we do regress to 8-14 on the season with the hooks. We have a hook loss and a brutal one at that on Bogdan Bogdanovic. End of the third quarter, he has 16 points. And I told you he played 10 and a half minutes in the fourth quarter and only needed 1 point, you would probably say, yeah, he'll get that 1 point. But he didn't do it, unfortunately, and it is a loss here. Not to mention, on the other bet that we had on the day, it was not quite a hook. I won't quite go as far as to call it a hook. But Doncic finishes on 8 assists, needed 9. And Lauri Markkanen, did he finish on 3 rebounds? Needed 4. And that was just almost, I don't want to call it just a throw-in, but that's one of those additional ones to kind of boost the price where you feel very confident. I think you said on Twitter, in this sort of minutes, he covers that rebound line 98 times out of 101 games played. So, yeah, a lot of close calls here, but it doesn't really go our way and ends up being 0-2. Still profitable in the season, in a good number, especially with the great, great run we've had in the last 2 weeks. But, yeah, a very disappointing Thursday overall here. Pips, any words on these two bets?
I'll just say Bogdan Bogdanovic, 92% free throw shooter. Had one free throw and missed it, and we lost by the hook.
Yeah.
Right? Bogdan is almost, I think he's like top 5 in the entire NBA in free throw shooting. And he just missed one free throw to cover this. On top of that, last 10 and a half minutes, first 8 zero field goal attempts. I don't know what the fuck was he doing. I was watching the game. It was insane. Then back-to-back wide open threes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes left. He shot the wide open three. It rebounded back to him, and he shot it again. And brick, a brick. Then that was it. Suns ran away.
And, yeah, that was a crushing loss, man.
That was one that went painful. Like, okay, we're going to lose on hooks, but the way we lose on the hook is actually pretty insane. And fuck DeJounte Murray. Once again, like, that guy, like, if you look at the numbers since the injury, you'll say, like, he did a great job. Like, he didn't create shit for the entire game. Like, he didn't create advantage for, like, any player on the Hawks team. Like, he's just handling the ball and passing the ball. He's not creating assists. He's passing the ball. So, yeah. And he also took 26 field goal attempts, mostly bricks. So, not much there for Bogey. Yeah. Like, 26 shots for 29 points. Great DeJounte Murray kind of game. Yeah. Four steals, but sucked on defense. And that's it. Okay, going to the next game. Doncic against Utah Jazz, 17 potential assists, 8 assists. He averaged 11 assists when he had 17 potential. So brutal, just brutal stuff. I think I watched the first quarter and I watched the entire game, but for most of the first quarter, he started the game, like, he created, I think he had 8 potential assists in the first 8 minutes of the game, and they made only one bucket. And yeah, that's the way that settled the game for most of the part. Markkanen and somehow got 3 rebounds. Like, this also shot, but he covered the points with 6 from 20. Yeah, but the rebounds part, he was always on the close one to the rim. Like, every rebound that bounced down, he was like half a feet away and didn't bother getting them. And he had 3 tip rebound that, like, he tipped to his teammate, and they didn't call any of it to his, and they usually do. So, yeah, this one is close as it gets, like, on both sides. I would say probably Bogdanović one was close. We lost 2 on the other one. I would say the other one was more likely to win if they play again. Like, the other one was just insane, like, with Markkanen. 98 of 101, not even accounting his positive rebounding matchup for negative, because this one was great. Dallas made 18 dunks in a game, which is absurd. Like, they're just unheard of. And yeah, when you dunk the ball, there's no rebound chance. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We had good, I wouldn't call it as much luck, but a good string of bets here. We had the 7 straight winning days. We had the split here. It's been a long time since we had a losing day. These days are bound to happen, but it's really awful when they happen in manners just like this, where it seemed like the bets, like, you know, you looking back, watching the game, how it went down, you'd make those again. Like, we got outstanding close on the Bogdanović play, but sometimes it doesn't just happen. It just doesn't happen. So hopefully we can bounce back today with the 2 plays that we have. But from loss here, let's go to a team that is winning games right now, and this is something I think Pips would be very excited to talk about. The Houston Rockets, they are on fire. They've won 7 games in a row. That's equal to the longest active win streak in the NBA with the Boston Celtics. And all of a sudden, when it seemed like they were out of the playoff picture, they're only two games and a half away from the Golden State Warriors for that final play-in tournament position, and doing a lot of this with Alperen Şengün injured. Pips, you are a Rockets fan. You're watching this team. What is the catalyst driving this win streak? And do you think this team can actually get to that play-in tournament?
The schedule is not that easy, so it will be down to Golden State, how they do. Because, on this run, we beat 3-4 terrible teams, 1 okay-ish team, and 2 good teams. So, yeah, it's down to this. Like, we won against Wizards twice. That was 3 wins. Spurs 1 and Portland 1. That's, like, they are supposed to win those games. But winning against the Bulls, like they did last night, double digit, winning against Kings and blowing out Cleveland Cavaliers, that's the thing. That is very impressive. The thing why they are so much better now, they're not so much better, but they are better. Defense. No LP, Jabari has 5, switching everything. I'll say 4 positive or 4 positive to great defensive players on the court at the same time switching. That's the modern thing. Huge size, athleticism. Like we spoke about it a lot of times on the show. I've mentioned like so Boston that can do it. Houston can do it as well. Jabari at the 5 can switch 1-5, do a good job, 1-5. Amen, Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet, all amazing defensive players. So yeah, it's down to defense and down to Jalen Green being unbelievable over the last 11 games. So I'll just point some numbers. Jalen Green, before the All-Star break, pre-All-Star game break, 54 games, 18 points average on 40% from the floor, 30% from the three. God awful. Terrible. Jalen Green over in March, last 11 games, 27 points average, 6 rebounds average, 3 assists average, shooting 50% from the floor and 40% from the three. That's all-star starter numbers over the last 11 games. And he changed to that. Before the All-Star break, he was probably one of the worst starters in the league. And now he's playing suddenly on an All-Star level, which is kind of ridiculous. And we'll see how it goes. Is it just a short stint, or he finally figured something out? He looked like he figured something out. Against the Wizards, they were blitzing him, and he made a good decision after good decision, which is usually not the case with Jalen Green. So, yeah, it's defense. Switchability, size, and Jalen Green playing great basketball.
So you mentioned the defense improving with Şengün out. We know how good of a player Alperen Şengün is. How can the team replicate similar defensive levels? Because, you know, you don't want to be in a state where, okay, well, something's clearly working when Şengün's out injured. How do you bring this level of play when hopefully next season, well, he will be back next season, how do you bring these sort of levels when he does return from injury? How do you keep the team on a good spell of form?
Just mix things with Şengün. He's not a drop coverage guy. He's a guy that should be on the level at some points, should be doubling some of our players out. And we'll see a lot more Amen. And it's Amen and Şengün together, two non-shooters. So that doesn't work in today's NBA. And now that Jabari is the 5, who is a great shooter with Amen out there, it's easier for Houston. So they just need to figure out, or Şengün needs to start making threes to be outside, like the thing with Gordon and Jokic. I think worst case scenario, Amen Thompson ended up like Aaron Gordon. They are very similar players as of now. And if Denver Nuggets can win the championship with it, Houston Rockets can make the playoffs with them together. So yeah, I think also they need to copy some playbooks from the Denver Nuggets, especially that play when Jokic takes the big out and throws a lob to Amen is even more athletic than Aaron Gordon, which is absurd because Aaron is one of the most athletic guys in the league. So yeah, I think just need to look more than Denver Nuggets and do a lot of stuff that they do. You know yourself, Jokic is one of the slowest guys in the league, and they are still comfortable bringing him up at the level. Some blitzes here and there, because behind there have Aaron Gordon doing all the kinds of stuff, and now they have Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson. So they just need to figure it out.
That's actually a really interesting comparison, Aaron Gordon and Amen Thompson. Even if Thompson could just get a corner three down, that'll just completely reshape the offense to the better. Really interesting, because he's a primary ball handler out of, I forget, Overtime Elite. That's where he was playing pre-NBA. where he was just getting the ball all the time. But maybe playing a bit more of an off-ball role, even as a non-shooter, that's actually a really interesting way Houston could kind of approach some development going forward there.
Last couple of games, he's actually playing at the power forward.
Yeah.
And he's being used as a screener. And I will use him that, in that role as much as possible. And then in the second unit, when he's surrounded by shooters, I'll then run him as a point.
It makes a lot of sense. Being a point guard without the pull-up jumper, it's just very difficult to do, and it's very difficult for NBA teams to employ, especially if they're not like the elite of the elite. Like, you know, maybe Ja Morant's not a great pull-up shooter, but he's so good at everything else that he kind of makes up for that. So unless you're that good, then maybe you do need that pull-up shot, or maybe you need a different role. And Thompson playing a different role, been very interesting.
I'll have some saying that, yeah, I think, can't get not to the Ja Morant level, but he's the same kind of athletic guy. He's just a lot bigger, and he can do a bunch of stuff if he gets the right spacing. Last couple of games, he's finally have confidence to drive to the rim and don't care who is in front of him. So he had a couple of great games. Amen is also, like, if you take a look at his numbers over the last couple of games, for a guy that averaged 8 points in a season, last games 20, 18, 25, 15 points, like, everything on like 70% shooting. So he's making buckets inside. He's insane. And his rebounding is for a guard, probably one of the best, because he averages only rebounds a game as a per 36 minutes. So it's a guard. Like, it's Russell Westbrook kind of numbers when he was in his prime. But yeah.
Well, nonetheless, some interesting insight into the Houston Rockets from the Houston Rockets fan himself. We'll see. Do you want them? I mean, they don't have their pick, right? So I'm sure you just want them to get into the play-in tournament. Yeah,
for sure. I want them to come to the playoffs. The experience is key. And look, if they go to the 10th spot, I think they can beat the Lakers in one game. And they actually won against the Kings also this season, like easily played against the Kings. Probably the best matchup out of any teams in playoffs is the Kings for the Houston Rockets. And they won, and if they get to the play, like, Warriors need to lose some games, and they are now healthy, and that's difficult. I don't think we can make it. But if we do make it one game, take it all, I have a complete trust. I have more trust that we can make the playoffs when we get to the playing spot than that we can get to the playing spot.
Very interesting there. And I don't put it past them to have a competitive first round series as well. If they get like an OKC or a Minnesota, maybe not so much Denver, but yeah, there's opportunity.
Playoff ball, Udoka, I trust him.
There you go. All right. That'll do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Adding on to the basketball excitement that's going on right now with March Madness ongoing with two NBA free picks courtesy of Pips for you guys. If you ever want more picks, by the way, you can check out Pips' Twitter at PipsNBA, where he posts plays over the weekend as well. But here, we're live every weekday morning. So our first play of the day is in the Pelicans and Heat game. -115 odds at DraftKings for Zion Williamson under 27.5 points and over 3.5 assists. I actually also saw this one at BetMGM for under 26.5 points, but the same amount of assists, and that was at +130. So a very interesting angle to go with as well if you care for avoiding the hook for the extra price there. In the other game, other bet that we have, it's in the Celtics and Pistons game. It's Cade Cunningham under 20.5 points for -118 odds at FanDuel. But that'll do it for this week. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in, supporting the show. Drop a like if you enjoyed. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you on Monday, hopefully celebrating a winning day here and getting the new week started.